Ever feel like your online classroom has gone global? Like you're suddenly connecting with students from all corners of the world?
It's definitely a trend we're seeing more and more of.
It's exciting, but it also makes you realize how much you don't know about teaching across cultures. That's why we're diving into this book, Teaching Across Cultures.
It's a fantastic resource. It really digs deep into the challenges and rewards of navigating cultural differences in online learning.
And it's not just about language barriers, right? We're talking about totally different ways of learning, communicating, even just perceiving the world.
Absolutely. The book really drives home how deeply culture shapes every aspect of our lives, including our education.
It reminds me of that saying, culture is like water to a fish. You don't notice it until you're out of it.
Exactly. And in online education, we're constantly swimming in a sea of different cultures.
So where do we even begin to unpack all of this?
Well, the book breaks it down into three core areas. Building cultural awareness, designing inclusive courses, and providing culturally sensitive feedback.
Okay, so it's kind of like a roadmap with three major milestones.
Exactly. And the first milestone, building cultural awareness, is all about examining our own biases and assumptions.
Because we all have them, right? Even if we don't realize it.
Precisely. We need to understand how our own cultural background shapes our perceptions and how those might differ from our students.
It's like checking our blind spots before we even step into the classroom, whether it's virtual or not.
Exactly. It's about developing that self-awareness first and foremost.
So once we've done that internal work, then we can move on to designing our courses with inclusivity in mind.
You got it. It's about creating an online environment where every student feels seen, heard, and respected.
Which sounds like a tall order. Especially when you might have students from dozens of different countries in a single online class.
It's definitely a challenge, but the book offers some really practical strategies.
Like what? Give us a sneak peek.
Well, for starters, it emphasizes the importance of clear communication. This could involve setting clear expectations up front, providing guidelines for online discussions, or even offering different ways for students to participate.
So if a student isn't comfortable speaking up in a live chat, maybe they could contribute through a written forum. Or submit a video response.
Exactly. It's about providing options and recognizing that not everyone thrives in the same environment. And this extends to course content as well.
Meaning what we teach is just as important as how we teach.
Absolutely. The book encourages educators to think critically about whose voices are being represented in their course materials. Are we presenting a diversity of perspectives, or are we sticking to a narrow, potentially Western-centric viewpoint?
It's about making sure our curriculum reflects the globalized world we're teaching in.
Right, because if we're not careful, we risk perpetuating the very biases and inequalities that we're trying to address.
That's a powerful point. So we talk about building cultural awareness and designing inclusive courses. What about that third milestone, providing culturally sensitive feedback? That feels like a whole other deep dive in itself.
It definitely is, and we're going to unpack it in depth a bit later. But the gist is that feedback that's seen as constructive in one culture might be interpreted as harsh or disrespectful in another.
It's amazing how much can get lost in translation, even when we're all technically speaking the same language.
Exactly, and that's why this book is so valuable. It gives us concrete tools and strategies to bridge those cultural divides and create a more inclusive and equitable learning environment for all students.
Well, I'm hooked. I'm ready to dive into those tools and strategies. Let's take a closer look at that first building block, cultural awareness. What exactly does that look like in the context of online education?
It's about recognizing that our online classrooms are no longer bound by geographical borders. We have students logging in from different time zones, potentially juggling vastly different life experiences alongside their coursework.
We're talking about a level of diversity that simply wasn't as prevalent in traditional face-to-face classrooms.
Exactly. And with that diversity comes a richness of perspectives, but also a greater potential for misunderstandings if we're not careful.
It's like we're all coming to the table with different cultural lenses, and we need to learn how to see through each other's eyes.
That's a great analogy. And one way to start doing that is by understanding some key concepts, like cultural models and frameworks. These tools can help us make sense of the vast and complex landscape of cultural differences.
So instead of feeling overwhelmed by the sheer scope of it all, we can break it down into more manageable chunks.
Precisely. It's about finding those frameworks that resonate with us and using them as a starting point for our own cultural learning journey.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What are some of the cultural models and frameworks that have been particularly helpful for you in your own teaching?
One framework that I find myself coming back to again and again is Hofstede's cultural dimensions. It's a classic for a reason.
Hofstede's cultural dimensions. That rings a bell, but I'm a little fuzzy on the details. Could you give us a quick refresher?
Of course. Imagine cultural values as points on a spectrum. Hofstede identified several key dimensions where cultures tend to differ, such as power distance, individualism versus collectivism, or uncertainty avoidance, just to name a few.
So instead of saying this culture is like this, it's more about understanding where a culture might fall on a particular spectrum.
Exactly. It's a much more nuanced and accurate way of looking at cultural differences. For example, instead of assuming that all students from a particular country will be comfortable with group work, we can consider where that culture falls on the individualism versus collectivism spectrum.
That's a huge shift in perspective. It's about understanding the why behind the behavior, rather than just making assumptions based on nationality or background.
You got it. And that's what cultural awareness is all about, constantly questioning our assumptions, seeking to understand the perspectives of others, and approaching cultural differences with a spirit of curiosity and respect.
So we've been talking about how crucial it is for educators to build cultural awareness, especially in the online learning environment.
It's the foundation for everything else, really.
But then comes the big question. How do we actually design our courses in a way that's truly inclusive and welcoming to students from all backgrounds?
Well, the book emphasizes this idea of creating a welcoming and engaging learning environment right from the get-go.
Which makes sense. If you start off on the right foot, it sets the tone for the entire course.
Exactly. Think about those first few days or weeks of a traditional in-person class.
You're getting to know your classmates, maybe doing some icebreakers, figuring out the classroom dynamic.
Right. And in an online setting, we need to be even more intentional about recreating those opportunities for connection and community building.
Because it's so easy for students to feel isolated online, especially if they're also navigating cultural differences.
Absolutely. So the book suggests incorporating things like icebreakers that encourage students to share something about their cultural backgrounds.
Oh, I love that idea. It could be as simple as asking students to share a favorite tradition or cultural value they hold dear.
Exactly. Or you could have them post photos or videos that represent their culture.
It's about making those cultural differences visible and valued from the very beginning.
Precisely. And it doesn't have to be limited to introductions either. You can weave cultural exploration into the course content itself.
So, for example, if you're teaching a history course, you could include perspectives from historians from various cultural backgrounds.
Exactly. Or if you're teaching a literature course, you could assign texts from authors who represent a diversity of cultures and experiences.
It's about making sure our curriculum reflects the globalized world we live in.
And it's not just about representation for representation's sake. It's about exposing students to different ways of thinking, different perspectives on the world.
Which is what education is all about, right? Broadening our horizons, challenging our assumptions.
Exactly. And that brings us to another key aspect of designing inclusive courses: clear communication.
Ah, yes, that age-old challenge, amplified in the online environment.
It's one thing to navigate communication styles in person where you have body language and tone of voice to help you.
But online, it's a whole different ballgame. It's so easy for things to get lost in translation, literally and figuratively.
Absolutely. That's why the book stresses the importance of setting clear expectations up front. This might involve providing guidelines for online discussions, outlining acceptable communication styles.
Maybe even having a conversation about netiquette and how to communicate respectfully in an online environment.
Precisely. And it's not just about preventing misunderstandings or conflict either. It's about creating a space where everyone feels comfortable expressing themselves.
And knows how to do so in a way that's culturally sensitive and appropriate.
Exactly. Because not everyone thrives in the same environment. Some students might be hesitant to speak up in a live chat, for example.
Whereas others might find written forms intimidating or overwhelming.
Exactly. So it's about providing options, offering alternative ways for students to participate.
I love that. So instead of forcing everyone into the same mold, we're recognizing that flexibility and choice are key.
Right. Because inclusivity isn't about treating everyone the same. It's about creating a learning environment where everyone has an equal opportunity to succeed.
And that might mean doing things a little differently, stepping outside of our comfort zones as educators.
Absolutely. But the rewards are immense. When we create a truly inclusive online classroom, everyone benefits.
Students feel more engaged, more supported, and ultimately more successful.
And as educators, we get to learn and grow alongside our students, expanding our own cultural understanding in the process.
It's a win-win situation. So we've talked about fostering community, clear communication, and inclusive course content. What about that sometimes dreaded aspect of teaching, feedback? How do we ensure our feedback is culturally sensitive and resonates with learners from diverse backgrounds? Feedback. It's the cornerstone of learning, but man, it can be a minefield, especially when you're navigating cultural differences.
It really is. What might be seen as constructive criticism in one culture could be deeply offensive in another.
It's like walking a tightrope sometimes, trying to find that balance between being honest and being culturally sensitive.
Exactly. And the book really highlights that tension, emphasizing that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to feedback.
So we can't just rely on our gut instincts or what's worked for us in the past.
Not necessarily. We need to be much more intentional, much more aware of our own cultural biases and how those might be influencing our feedback style.
So step one is to basically check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, right?
Exactly. We need to ask ourselves, am I bringing any unconscious biases or assumptions to this feedback?
Is my feedback truly objective, or am I letting my own cultural lens color my perceptions?
Those are great questions to be asking. And once we've done that self-reflection, then we can start to think about how to tailor our feedback to the specific cultural backgrounds and communication styles of our students.
Which sounds like a daunting task, considering the diversity we often encounter in online classrooms.
It can be, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming. The book offers some really practical strategies for making our feedback more culturally sensitive.
Like what? Give us the goods.
Well, one strategy that I found particularly helpful is to simply ask students about their preferred feedback styles.
Oh, that's brilliant. Why didn't I think of that?
It seems so obvious, right? But how often do we actually stop and ask our students, how do you best receive feedback?
What kind of feedback is most helpful and motivating for you?
Exactly. And you can even incorporate this into a beginning of semester survey or have a quick discussion about it in your first online meeting.
It's about creating that open dialogue from the get-go, establishing that feedback is a two-way street.
Absolutely. And it shows your students that you respect their perspectives and that you're willing to meet them where they are.
And beyond asking, are there other ways we can make our feedback more culturally sensitive?
Definitely. The book talks about providing feedback in multiple formats to cater to diverse learning and communication styles.
So not just relying on written comments, but maybe incorporating audio or video feedback as well.
Exactly. Some students might process information better when they can hear your tone of voice,
while others might appreciate the visual cues of a video message.
It's about providing options, just like we talked about with course design.
Meeting students where they are, which is so crucial in online learning.
And speaking of meeting students where they are, the book also stresses the importance of being mindful of time zone differences.
Oh, that's huge. I hadn't even thought about that.
It might seem like a small logistical detail, but it can make a world of difference for students who are logging in from across the globe.
Imagine trying to process feedback when it's 3:00 a.m. your time.
Or trying to meet a deadline when everyone else is sound asleep.
It's no wonder some students might feel like they're constantly playing catch up.
Exactly. So simple things like being flexible with deadlines, offering alternative assignment submission times, or even just acknowledging the challenges of different time zones can go a long way in creating a more equitable learning environment.
It's about recognizing that our students' lives don't fit neatly into our syllabi or our schedules.
And that flexibility and understanding can make all the difference in their learning experience.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into teaching across cultures. We've talked about building cultural awareness, designing inclusive courses, and providing culturally sensitive feedback.
It's a lot to process, but it's such important work.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest takeaway for me is that it's an ongoing journey, not a destination.
It's not about achieving some kind of cultural competence finish line.
It's about constantly learning, growing, and challenging ourselves to be more inclusive and equitable educators.
And that ongoing process of learning and growth is what makes this work so rewarding.
Well said. A huge thank you to our expert for sharing their insights and expertise with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've gained some valuable takeaways to implement in your own online classrooms. Until next time, keep those deep dives going.